Lalita appeared as Swarup Damodar Goswami, who was Lord Chaitanya's intimate associate. And also Vishakha appeared as Sri Ramananda Roy. So they were always with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, helping him with the different loving exchanges. So today we're going to speak a little bit and read a little bit about from Prabhupada's Nectar Devotion. I've compiled some quotes about Lalita Devi from Srila Prabhupada's books. So it helps to read from Srila Prabhupada. So, Om Gana Timidandasya Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur Unmiditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Of course, we have the Asta Sakis. Everyone knows the Asta Saki means the eight Sakis, who are the associates of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. And in Sridham Mayapur, we have the Asta Saki deities. Also in Tirupati, they've installed the Asta Saki deities. So that's a very beautiful altar. So we'll read the names of them. The names of the Asta Sakis are Lalita, Vishakha, Chitra, Champaka, Latta, Tungavidya, Induleka, Rangadevi, and Sudevi. And so now we'll read a little bit about Lalita. And this is from Nectar of Devotion. Yes, Nectar of Devotion. This is basically what Srila Prabhupada is telling us. He said, of the eight gopis, the first one, Lalita Devi, is the best. She is a very dear friend of the divine couple, and she is 27 days older than Radha, the eldest of Krishna's gopi friends. Now, I don't know why Lalita Shaki falls today, and it's not actually 28 days. Anyway, somehow or other, these things are arranged. maybe they had the maybe they had the extra month, right? Purushottamath, between Lalita Devi's appearance and Radharani's appearance. That's a possible explanation of it. Just like this year, we're between Krishna's appearance and Radharani's appearance is a month and a half, right? Usually it's only 2 weeks, but now we have a month and a half because that's because of Purushottamas, which is called the leap month. It's a very auspicious month. It's sometimes called the second Kartik. It's not a Mal month. It's not an inauspicious month. It's an auspicious month. Actually, for those who are not Krishna conscious, every month is inauspicious. And for those who are Krishna conscious, every month is auspicious. Every minute is auspicious. Okay. So Lalita is famous as Srimati Radharani's constant companion and follower. Lalita is contrary and hot-tempered by nature, and her complexion is like the yellow pigment Gorochan, and her garments are like peacock feathers. So contrary by nature means that she's one of the left-handed gopis. Just like Bam means left-handed, like you have Satchabam, who is Krishna's wife, of course. And that means the gopis are the wives who were hot-tempered and argued with Krishna. And then you have the right-handed gopis, or the right-handed wives, and they never argued with Krishna. An example of the right-handed gopis is Chandravali. An example of the right-handed wives is Rukmini Devi. Krishna tried to get Rukmini Devi angry with him. He was talking to her one day. He said, my dear Rukmini Devi, now nobody knows what caste I come from. You have married inappropriately, so therefore you should get a divorce, basically, and get married to someone else like that knight Shishupal, who was interested in you before. This is a story in Krishna book. And Rukmini Devi, instead of getting angry, she fainted. And Krishna had to manifest two extra arms, in other words, four arms in total, to catch her. Whereas in the case of Satchabhama, you have Krishna who got a parijata flower for Rukmini Devi, and Satchabhama was so envious, she just like insisted that Krishna had to get her a whole tree. You know, you're just like, huh, like that. You have to get me a whole tree. Why did you get this? Rukmini is your favorite, and you therefore, you don't love me anymore. You should get me a whole tree. And so Krishna was obliged to get her a whole tree of Parijata flowers, and as a result, Krishna had to fight with Indra and the other demigods. So you have these left-handed, right-handed relationships. Anyway, it's very interesting. Even in this world, relationships are sometimes like that, as a perverted reflection of the spiritual realm. So, Lalita Devi's mother's name is Sarada Devi, and her father is Vishoka. Her husband is named Vairava, and he is a close friend of Govardhan Gopa. That's not Govardhan Hill. Govardhan Gopa is the so-called husband of Chandravali. And Vairava is the so-called husband of Lalita Devi. When we say so-called, it actually means so-called, because these particular husbands never even went near their wives, and they were sort of expansions, in one sense, expansions of Krishna, but they never touched their wives, because only Krishna was able to touch the gopis. So Krishna was the actual husband of all the gopis, and their relationship was certified when Krishna stole their clothes before they actually got married, when they were very young. There's that story that the gopis were worshipping Kachiyani. It's called the Kachiyani Vrat. For any of you ladies, of course you're all married, but any of you ladies, if there were any young girls here, I don't see any. Forgive me for saying that. So if there were any young girls here, they would worship Kachiyani, Durga, to get a good husband. And there's so many austerities. They can only eat once a day, no spices, certainly no fried foods, no salt, and they would have to eat from the floor, and they would have to bathe in the cold river every day. So the gopis did that in order to get Krishna as their husband. And ultimately, after they finished their vrat, the next day, as they were bathing naked in the Jamuna River, Krishna stole their clothes. And in this way, when Krishna forced them to come out, you know, with their hands on their head, you know, like the robbers say, sometimes say, hold your hands up. Of course, Krishna had them put their hands there. Then they were, in essence, married. And so Krishna married them in that way before their so-called husbands married them. And also there's many different marriage ceremonies that were performed between Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan. There's one in a place called Gantoli, where the dhoti, now of course Krishna didn't wear a dhoti, but Krishna's clothes, he didn't wear a dhoti. He wore clothes. It's some sort of clothes. I don't know what they were called, like pants or something. But he didn't have sweatshirts with beer names on them. So anyway, so Krishna and Radharani had their cloth tied with each other. And there's another place where Lord Brahma performed the marriage ceremony between Radha and Krishna. So in this way, the husbands of the gopis were so-called husbands. So that's very important to understand. And Krishna did not dance with others' wives, in essence, because everyone belonged to Krishna. It's like in this world, if someone thinks someone belongs to me, like they have this romantic statement, I am yours and you are mine. You ever heard of this before? They have that in Bollywood movies sometimes. I am yours and you are mine. Yuck. So that is actually Maya. Because we are Krishnas and you are Krishnas and we are all Krishnas. We all belong to Krishna. None of you belong to any other jiva soul. Try to remember that. Although, in the attempt to possess another jiva soul, people even get pets. You say, this is my dog. If the wife's not submissive, her husband's not submissive, they get a pet. Like Prabhupada said that, to enjoy the so-called loving exchanges where you think you can possess someone, you actually have to get an animal. Like a dog. And so many dogs every day. They're someone's pet. They will bite me. But if their master comes, they will bow down. Right? They offer obeisances. On their back, actually. They roll over. So, anyway, so that's the story about the gopis' husbands. Among these most exalted gopis who are most dear to Krishna, the leader and controller is Lalita Devi. Lalita Devi is full of ecstatic love for the divine couple. She is expert at arranging both their meeting and their conjugal struggle. Sometimes, for Radha's sake, she offends Lord Madhava. In other words, when Radharani gets angry at Krishna, she stands guard outside of the bower. That's the kunja. You understand? Like that. Bower means like a kunja means like a forest. Kunja Vihari, like Krishna and Radharani enjoying the bushes and Kunja Vihari. A bower is like a decorated part of the forest. So she stands guard, and usually there's doorways. Not doorways like we have here with wood, but they're like flower doorways, like arches. You understand what I mean? Arches. And she'll stand there with a stick. And then Krishna comes and she says, get out of here, I'm going to beat you. And Krishna has to run away. And then Krishna comes back, sometimes dressed as a lady. And, you know, it's a beautiful lady, bluish lady. And he says, you know, he says, basically I'm a demigoddess, I want to see your Swamini, I want to see Srimati Radharani. And so they let him in. And then he sneaks in sometimes. And sometimes he even comes in as a doctor. Did you know that? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes this, that sometimes Srimati Radharani is feeling so much depressed on separation from Krishna, and then Krishna can't get in to see her. So then they say there's a doctor. This is, at Radharani's so-called in-law's house, Jatila and Kutila. And so, you know, she's bitten by a snake bite. And so they let a doctor in to take care of her. And anyway, and sometimes Krishna appears as a sannyasi. And who is a sannyasi who reads palms so he can associate with Srimati Radharani. So he comes in. And so of course, the sannyasi, they don't let a sannyasi touch Srimati Radharani. But anyway, so he says, I'd like to read Srimati Radharani's hand or palm to see if she has any good fortune. And so the gopi said, but she's not supposed to touch any man. And then he says, I'm a sannyasi, don't worry about it. And so he grabs her hand, and then she realizes it's Krishna. So Krishna is very tricky like that, but Lalita Devi is a manifestation of Radharani's man, or anger towards Krishna. So she gets she's very hot-tempered like that. Whereas Vishakha is the opposite. She's more into mediation and reconciliation and getting Radha and Krishna together. You understand? Of course, they're all into getting Radha and Krishna together. But Krishna very much enjoys the anger. It spices up the relationship, just like you have hot peppers you put sometimes in the food, right? You like to have little tasty things. Otherwise, if there were no hot peppers and no garam masala, right? And then it would be tasteless. So Krishna likes the garam masala of a relationship. You understand? So Lalita Devi is the cook that adds the garam masala. That's a good way to explain it. So another one is, so here's some more quotes. Some of these are from the Chaitanya Charitamrita too, which describe Lalita Devi and Vishakha because it's in reference to Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami and their relationship and advice to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the beauty of all the other gopis appears to be conserved in the form of Lalita Devi. In an argument, her mouth becomes bent with ferocious anger, and she expertly speaks the most outrageous and arrogant replies. So there's more evidence of this man, or this anger towards Krishna. Outrageous. I mean, she says things you can't believe. Outrageous means that someone says things you can't believe that they said it. I said, what? She said that? Unbelievable. You know, she said Krishna is, you know, whatever, a cheater, a thief, a rascal. So that's outrageous. I mean, you wouldn't go in front of the deities and say to Krishna, you're horrible, would you? It's dangerous.
That's outrageous. And arrogant means like prideful. So next text. When the arrogant gopis pick a quarrel with Krishna, she is in the forefront of the conflict. When Radha and Krishna meet, she audaciously remains standing a little away from them. You know, she has her hands on her hips, and she's thinking, how could Radharani associate with that guy? She actually wants it, but she's just like, he's such a rascal, you know. He's such a cheater. There's that story in the pastimes of Krishna, Radha and Krishna, the tax pastimes of Dhanakele Komadi, where the gopis are bringing milk products to Govindakund, and Krishna stops them to ask for taxes. And they have this big argument, and Krishna is very romantic. He says to Srimati Radharani that you have to pay so much gold for your beautiful eyes. I mean, it's a very romantic statement, isn't it? So much gold for your beautiful ears. Then he goes over her whole body. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, unless you're free from lust, don't read this. So no, none of you should read it. But anyway, Krishna does, it starts taxing her, and it becomes like an immense amount of taxes, like billions and billions of rupees by the time, that time Krishna is finished. And they get very angry. Lalita especially is getting angry. And Krishna says, all right, you can pay your taxes tomorrow. Just leave Lalita as a hostage. You know, hostage? You know, leave her as a guarantor. And then they get angry and they start yelling and screaming. And finally, Purnamasi comes and resolves the whole thing. And they agree to come back the next day. The gopis come back the next day to pay their taxes, but there's 10 million gopis. And then they tie up Krishna and the coward boys, and they threaten them with sticks. And even in Vrindavan today, in Barshana, there's Barshana Holi, where the ladies take sticks and they beat the men. I've mentioned that before. You understand? They take the sticks. And as I told the devotees, one day I went there on that wrong day, and I got beaten up. I didn't know it was Barshana Holi. Nobody told me. I thought, well, it's holy. Holi is in a few days because there's different alternating holies in different places in Vrindavan. You know, one day it's Barshana, next day Nandagram, another day it's Vrindavan, next day Govardhan. So I thought, you know, it's not. So I got out of the car, and then all the ladies got so ecstatic with their sticks. And the colors, too, and then that was it for me. I barely escaped with my life. So that, and but then in Nandagram, it's the opposite. The men, they don't hit, you know, they threaten the women. So it's very interesting, the interactions, even today, between the residents of Vrindavan. One actually has to be very qualified to understand these things. So, another text. With the help of Purnamasi Devi and the other gopis, Lalita arranges for a meeting of Radha and Krishna. She carries the parasol, that's an umbrella, for Radha and Krishna. She carries the, and decorates them with flowers, and she decorates the cottage where they rest at night and rise in the morning. So, another text. Some gopis serve the divine couple in the garden known as Madan non Madini, among the flowering creepers, betel creepers, and betel trees. Some gopis are expert at playing various magic tricks. Some are expert at composing riddles, and some are appointed to provide betel nuts for the divine couple. All these gopis are the servants of Srimati Radha Rani. It's interesting because all these discussions about Lalita Devi are leading up to Radhastami, which is Sunday. So it's good to actually get in the right mood. So other gopis are specifically the friends of Lord Baladev. Lalita Devi is the leader and controller of all these exalted and worshipable young gopis. Radna Lekha and the eight other dear Vara gopis described here all follow the footsteps of Lalita Devi and are always in all respects. Next. Amongst the eight gopis, Ratna Prabha Devi and Rati Kala Devi are famous for their transcendental virtues, beauty, expertise, and charming sweetness. Next, we're going to read about the flower decorations given to Radha and Krishna. The flower ornaments of the divine couple are flower crown, one, flowers in the hair, flower earrings, flowers decorating the forehead, flower necklaces, because this is all what Lalita Devi does, decorating the divine couple. That's why it's mentioned. Flower armlets, flower sashes. Everybody know what a sash is? No. You know what a sash is? It's not a snake. A sash is like a cloth you wrap around your neck. Yeah, I thought nobody would know that. Flower bracelets, flower anklets, flower bodices, and many other kinds of flower ornaments. In other words, this is describing the flower outfits of Radha and Krishna. So those of you pujaris can understand how to make them. Did you ever have a flower outfit for the deities here? No? Never had a flower outfit. In some temples, actually in Vrindavan and also in our temple in the United States, we make flower outfits for the deities. No? You know how to make a flower? Flower outfits are made as you have the basic, you actually have the basic, underlying outfit, which is like macrame or some cotton or something like that. And then you stitch the flowers, because the flower it's not a permanent outfit, because the flowers will. What's that?
We have done it for
Radha Goloka Bihari. That's good. So then you stitch the flowers to this, and then you put it on the deities, and they have a flower outfit. It's very beautiful. Very, very beautiful to have that. So in Vrindavan, they wear flower outfits. And then there's the crown. The divine couple's crowns may be made of rangani flowers, yellow jasmine flowers, navamali flowers, sumali flowers, Dhriti gems, rubies, Gomeda gems, pearls, or splendid moonstones. These may be artistically arranged to construct beautiful crowns. The flower crowns known as Pushpa-para are the best of all, and they are more pleasing than even the best jeweled crowns. In other words, Krishna likes flower crowns better than jeweled crowns. Lalita Devi learned how to make these Pushpa-para crowns from Srimati Radharani. So here's the next. We're going to read about the gopi messengers who arrange the meeting between Radha and Krishna. So there's several of their names here: Shivari Devi, Somyadarshana Devi, Suprasada Devi, Sadasanta Devi, Santida Devi, and Kantida Devi are the leaders of the gopi messengers who expertly arrange the meeting of Radha and Krishna. These gopis consider Lalita Devi to be their dearmost life and soul. They are counted amongst the intimate associates of Lord Krishna. At a certain time, Srimati Radharani quarrels with Lord Krishna and refuses to see him. Understanding the hints of Lalita Devi, these gopis then approach Lord Krishna. These gopis appease Lord Krishna and please him in different ways. With great effort, they convince him that his actual desire is to meet with Radha again. When these gopis bring to her the gift that Lord Krishna gives them as a peace offering, Srimati Radharani becomes very pleased with them and grants them her mercy. Lalita Devi and the other eight principal gopis, the other gopis and the manjaris have forms that are for the most part like the transcendental form of Srimati Radharani, the queen of Vrindavan. Tundikari is the name of Radharani's pet swan, who is fond of swimming in Radhakund. Madhuri is Radharani's pet elephant. It's nice. And Sukshmari and Subha are her two pet parrots. The two pet parrots, this is very funny, perfectly imitate Lalita Devi's playful jokes spoken to her master and mistress, Shri, Radha, and Krishna. By this wonderful repetition, the parrots astonish the gopis. So when Lalita Devi makes jokes, these two parrots just like imitate Lalita Devi. And everyone is laughing. This next quote is from the Nectar of Devotion. It's describing one of the Vyabhachari Bhavas. The Vyabhachari Bhavas, there's 33 of them. They're ecstatic emotions that occur what we call intermittently. You can't predict them. That is, let's say, well, Prabhupada exhibited that once or twice when he was looking at some deities in several different temples, like Gornatai deities. He began to chant Paramakarna Bahujivanam, and he said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda are most merciful. And he fell into trance for about 5 minutes. And the devotees didn't know what to do, and the devotees started chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada came out of trance, and the devotees asked Prabhupada, what should we do when you go into trance like this? And Prabhupada just very humbly said, well, that does not happen very often. You know, he didn't want to talk about his spiritual trance. That's called Vyabhachari Bhava. So now we're going to read about one of the Vyabhachari Bhavas of Lalita Devi, which is breathing heavily. Just like some of the Vyabhachari Bhavas are similar to medical symptoms. Like if someone comes into the doctor's clinic, there's a you know, then the doctor treats him. Or if someone faints, or if someone is like devastated, the doctor treats him, right? Any of these, practically most of the Vyabhachari Bhavas would be considered to be symptoms of either insanity or some severe medical condition. So breathing heavily. As far as breathing heavily is concerned, it is stated that Lalita is just like a chatukki bird, which only takes water falling directly from the rain cloud and not from any other source. In this statement, Krishna is compared to the dark cloud, and Lalita is compared to the chatukki bird seeking only Krishna's company. The metaphor continues, as a heavy wind sometimes disperses a mighty cloud, so the heavy breath from Lalita's nostrils caused her to miss Krishna, who had disappeared by the time she recovered herself. And here's another instance of breathing heavily, but this is Srimati Radharani too. Actually, no, this is an instance, sorry, of alertness. This is an interaction between Srimati Radharani and Lalita. When Srimati Radharani first saw Krishna, she suddenly became conscious of all transcendental happiness, and the functions of her different limbs were stunned. When Lalita, her constant companion, whispered into her ear the holy name of Krishna, Radharani immediately opened her eyes wide. This is an instance of alertness caused by hearing the sound of Krishna's name. So one thing is very interesting, that at one particular point, this is in the Vidagdha Madhava by Srila Rupa Goswami, that Srimati Radharani is ready to commit suicide because she considers herself to be unchaste. And the reason she considers herself to be unchaste, she thinks she's fallen in love with three different men. She says, I'm fallen in love with the person whose name is Krishna. You know, I've fallen in love with the person, that beautiful blackish boy. And I've also fallen in love with the person who plays the flute. So she thought it was three different personalities. And eventually Lalita had to assure her, it's all the same person. And these are symptoms of ecstasy. Because each and every one of Krishna's characteristics, just as playing the flute, is all attractive. And so you wouldn't necessarily know that the person who plays the flute is actually that blackish boy, isn't it? Or you wouldn't know his name is Krishna. So she was actually getting ready to commit suicide, thinking herself unchaste. So here's another quote. In ecstatic loving service to Krishna, in anger,
Krishna is always the object. In other words, object means he's always the focal point of anger. He's always the person the gopis get angry with. I mean, they don't get angry with anyone else but Krishna. And sometimes Madhu Mangal, but that's because of his association with Krishna. I mean, there's that story with Madhu Mangal that all the coward boys one time, they were stealing butter or something, and they escaped through a window. And Madhu Mangal, he was couldn't escape through the window because his rear end was so big. You understand? Because he likes ladders. He's a Brahmin, and Brahmins have Brahmin bellies. And anyway, the whole body is appropriate for a Brahmin. Prabhupada said Brahmins like sweets. And so the gopis actually took sticks and hit him on the rear end. And Krishna said to them, "You have committed a great offense against the Brahmin. So therefore you should apologize and somehow or other get his mercy." So they went to Madhu Mangal and they said, "Please forgive us, you know, what can we do?" And he said, "I want something like 10,000 or 10 million ladus." And so they began to feed him ladus all the time. And after he got to a few hundred, he got so intoxicated he started blessing them. So that's the point. If someone is angry, just feed them a lot. And after a while, they'll bless you. Krishna's in the Vidagdha Madhava, second act, verse 37, Lalita Gopi expressed her anger, which was caused by Krishna when she addressed Srimati Radharani as follows. "My dear friend, my inner desires have been polluted. Therefore, I shall go to the place of Yamaraj. But I am sorry to see that Krishna has still not given up his smiling and cheating you. I do not know how you could repose all your loving propensities upon this lusty young boy from the neighborhood of the cowards." So that's really audacious. That means like unbelievable what she's saying. You know, calling Krishna a lusty young boy from the neighborhood of the cowards. And so, of course, her anger is not illusory, under the Mahamaya potency of the Lord. It's Yogamaya, because Krishna enjoys that very much. So here's another statement from Prabhupada's books. This is from the Lita Madhava, I think. Gargi says, "Is it true that when the witch Putana was killed, you took Radha from her lap?" This is about the appearance of Lita Devi. Yeah, very nice. Yeah, I took this from the Lita Madhava. No, Vidagdha Madhava, sorry. So this is about Radharani's appearance and Lalita Devi's appearance. So, "When the witch Putana was killed, you took Radha from her lap. Purnamasi said, I took not only Radha, but five other girls also." Gargi asks, "Who were they?" Purnamasi replies, "They were Radharani's moon-faced friend Lalita, Chandravali's beautiful friend Padma, Bhadra, who acts auspiciously, four auspicious Saibya, and five splendid and cheerful Shama." And Gargi asks, "How were these girls placed amongst the gopis?" Purnamasi replies, "Swiftly and secretly, I gave these five infant girls to five gopis in different parts of Vrindavan. In a secret place, I happily gave virtuous Radharani to Yashoda's nurse, Mukura, and said, O elderly one, here is your son-in-law, Rishabhanu's daughter. Lalita Devi was born in the village of Karela, and later on her father brought her to Uchagan." That's right near Barshana. That's on the side of Barshana. "Uchagan is known as the place of her pastimes. There are still many remnants of her having lived there, like a rock containing the imprints of her lotus feet." So if you go to Uchagan, you can actually see Lalita's lotus feet imprint. "There are also imprints of some small utensils she used when she and the other Sakis fed Lord Krishna, when he would come to visit them. When the sun rays fall on the imprints of those pots and plates, they glitter and shine. All the Sakis used to play with Radha and Krishna and Lalita in Uchagan, and there are many places there where you can see their footprints to this day."
On the hill, there is a slippery rock showing where a specific pastime was enacted in a marriage arena. There, the gopis arranged a kind of special kind of marriage between Lalita and Krishna. So Lalita also had her conjugal relationship with Krishna. Actually, that's it. We should understand that Srimati Radharani is actually pushing her associates to associate with Krishna. And they are not thinking they want to associate so much with Krishna. They are thinking they want to help with the conjugal affairs of Radha and Krishna. But still, Radharani is so merciful to her associates. No, you associate with Krishna too. This should not be understood as a real marriage, but rather a play marriage, like the marriage that was once enacted between Srimati Radhika and Krishna. This is technically known as a Gandharva marriage. We had a Gandharva marriage here the other night. Right? But you still have to have a legal marriage. In that pastime, here's a description. In that pastime, Krishna was sitting beside Lalita, and the Sakis began to play mischievously. Vishakha and some of the other Sakis tied Sri Lalita's veil to Krishna's pitambara, that's yellow shawl. Then suddenly, on the indication of Srimati Radhika, Rangadevi and the other Sakis started to sing wedding songs. In other words, Radharani was made the arrangement for Lalita Devi to marry Krishna. Can you imagine? Anyway, no, you can't. So, I'm not going to ask you to imagine. While Tungavidya and the others uttered wedding mantras, the remaining Sakis showered flowers on Sri Krishna and Lalita. When Lalita noticed that something tricky was being done to her, she tried to run away. In other words, she didn't really want to marry Krishna. She wanted Radha and Krishna to be together. But because she was tied to Krishna's pitambara, she could not do so. All the Sakis then surrounded the couple and married them. Even today, one can see the signs of the slide on the hill, as well as the markings of the red lac from the gopis' feet. Although this pastime took place 5,000 years ago, you can still visualize these signs with your own eyes. Those of us who go to Barshana and Uchigan have seen these things. Does everybody remember? No, you don't remember. Anyway. Now, here's the explanation. According to the Tithi astrological calculation, Lalita Devi's appearance day falls on the day before Srimati Radhika's appearance day. So Tithi means basically the moon cycle, the moon day. So sometimes you'll have two moon days, which will correspond to one Sunday, or sometimes you'll have two Sundays that correspond to one moon day. It depends on the overlapping. Just like yesterday was a Ganesh Chaturdasi. You understand? It's 14th day. So I hope no one looked at the moon yesterday, because you're in big trouble if you look at the moon on Ganesh Chaturdasi. It says, Lalita generally used to have the same loving mood towards Radha and Krishna, yet she is more inclined towards Srimati Radharani. And just, I'll finish up with this, because it's almost time to greet the deities. This is a very nice Sanskrit verse. I believe it is written by Srila Rupa Goswami. Radha Mukunda Pada Sambhava Garma Bindu Niramanchano Pakarani Kritadeha Laksham Utunga Saurada Vishesha Vasat Pagalpam Devim Gunai Sulalitam Lalitam Damami. So this is like the pranami, or the obeisance to Srimati Lalita Devi. I offer my pranama to the haughty Sri Lalita Devi. Haughty means proud. Who is charmingly endowed with many beautiful, sweet qualities. This is definitely Rupa Goswami. Su Lalita. She has natural expertise in all arts, Lalita. Thus her seva self manifests. She wipes away the glittering drops of perspiration which appear upon the lotus feet of Sri Radha and Madhava when they meet, and she is perpetually immersed in the most elevated mellow of Sorudaras, or undivided absorption in fulfilling the heart's desire of her intimate friend, Srimati Radhika. And that's from the Sri Lalita Ashtakam. This is verse 1. So there's all, Ashtaka means like 8 prayers. So there's these Ashtakas have been written by the Acharyas for Lalita Devi. There's Radhika Ashtaka and Vishaka Ashtaka. And so many Ashtaka, Govardhan Ashtaka. Sometimes we recite the Govardhan Ashtaka, the 8 prayers in glorification of Govardhan. So today is the glorious appearance day of Lalita Devi. It's very important to worship her on this day and respect her on this day. And by her mercy, we'll get the association and mercy and intimate internal association of Srimati, Radharani, and Krishna. Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.